Okay, well, let me just start off by simply saying, and obviously you see the title of my message. And if I had to put a subtitle under that, it might be something like a pastor's self-reflection. No, just kidding. So what I want to ask you is this. What is the first thing you think of when you think of the word toxic?
Waste.
For most of us, I can tell you, at least for myself, I think of something chemical or poisonous. And if that's what you thought, then you're probably not going to be disappointed. Because the word toxic actually means anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. So by definition, if you automatically thought of something poisonous, something chemical, then you were right. So the question is, did you know, and I'm sure you do, we've probably had thousands, if not many more, pastors preach on a topic such as this, but did you know that people can be toxic as well? And I don't mean chemically. You know, don't get me wrong, I don't believe that everyone is toxic, but I certainly believe that we all have the ability to be toxic. Toxic in our own way. The truth is you probably know someone that's toxic. And the moment I ask you, do you know a toxic person, or have you ever been in a toxic relationship, you probably immediately think of a particular person. Now, for the most part, you know, people can truly be like a spiritual asset in our life. And our hope as Christians is that we are spiritual assets for others. But you know, people can also be a spiritual curse sometimes. People can tend to draw the worst out of us from time to time. You know, if you surround yourself with the right people, then what they do is they lift you up, they encourage you, they help you, they equip you spiritually, mentally, emotionally. If you're around the right people, they can draw what's the best from you. They can help you and lift you up. But if you're around the wrong people, they can be distractive, destructive, and poisonous. So remember that toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness and even death. And does that sound like someone you know? Does that sound like someone maybe you've been associated with? Good deal. I was going to switch it myself, but I see you did. So that's awesome. So, some people are very poisonous. Some people are very distracted, very destructive. And you know, the Bible warns us about such people. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Let's say that together. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, sometimes certain people just bring out the old us. You know, and again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. Their teachings spread like gangrene." You know, can anybody here relate to this? Can you, you know, you're living the life and you're doing pretty good, but you get around the old crowd, and all of a sudden, you're just like you were before. I got to tell you, it was a struggle for me for the longest time, and sometimes even still can be. But you know, when I first got saved, my life did not resemble a godly life. You know, I was a purebred sinner, and I was living and doing some of the most crazy nonsense and just living in a way that I absolutely know was not of God. And I was hanging around people just like me. And then I get saved, and my life changes, and everything's starting to change. And I started to kind of get away from some of those people. And then I get invited to go play cards with some old buddies. And then you get around the card table, and you're cussing and swearing and all the different kind of stuff that you were doing before. It's very easy if to be misled. And so just like it says, do not be misled. You know, gangrene. Think about that. He says their teachings spread like gangrene. Can gangrene be toxic? Of course. You know, gangrene can start out very simple. It starts out as a very small infection, and it gets into the bloodstream. And when it gets into the bloodstream, it stops the flow of life to that part of the body. Think of somebody who gets frostbite on their, you know, and there's somebody you see like these, you know, Antarctic type expeditions, and somebody gets their feet frozen, and then all of a sudden gangrene sets in. And the moment that stuff gets into the bloodstream, it stops life from going to that part of the body, and the body literally begins to break down and die. See, I believe that gangrene is almost a perfect picture of what bad company can do to good character. So we're going to talk a little bit about toxic people, about, you know, we all know someone, and you're probably thinking of that person right now. As a matter of fact, we all know people that we consider to be toxic. So I want you to think about this. Do you know someone who's toxic? If you know someone who's been toxic in your life, raise your hand. Okay, if you got your hands up, hold them up. And those of you who have your hands up, I want you to look around the ones who didn't raise their hands and let you know that they're just not aware of it yet. Might tell you a little bit more about them. I'm just kidding. Do not send Tony emails today. He'll think I was being a toxic one. There are three types of toxic people that I believe that we're going to talk about this morning. The very first one is the chronically negative. You know, these people are very judgmental, they're critical, they're gossiping, they're complaining, nothing is ever good enough for them. The biggest issue is that for the most part, they don't even know it. They don't even know that they're being this way. You know, you and everyone around them knows it, but they don't know it. It's kind of like this guy. You know, does anybody know an Eeyore? You know, woe is me, the life. Life is terrible, the sky is falling. Anyway, we all have these people in our lives. It's chronically negative. You know, it's just everything is bad. Everything around them is crumbling down, and they can't really see any good in anything. And then we have number two, the controller. Overbearing, demanding, manipulative, and maybe even abusive. That laughter was not pointed at your husband, was it? The moment I said controlling, she looked at Jose and just laughed. Jose, we'll pray for Kathy.
I know we don't need to pray for Jose.
Probably because, we're gonna stop. That's not part of my notes. We're not going there. It's not even worth it. You know, as a side note, these people don't even know they're doing it. And I think, and I truly believe that for the most part, it's because people don't even really know their own story. You know, we talk about this at, through God's Healing Path, a book that Tony wrote. It's one of the main resources that we use on Thursday night with the women in the prison. We talk about entering and understanding your story, okay? I think so many people really don't even know themselves. You know, so many, for so long, speaking on my own behalf, I couldn't tell you why I acted the way I did, why I did the things I did, why I said the things that, why I felt the way I felt. I didn't understand my own story. Of course, that's a whole nother message, and we'll let Tony give that one at a later date. Number three is the tempter. You know, we all know this guy. We all know this one because, you know, he could be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your best friend. Could be one of your party buddies from days past, but it's usually someone that we know, and it's usually someone we know really well, and they kind of know how to push our buttons. And they always tempt you to sin. They always tempt you to do something that you know darn good and well you shouldn't be doing. You know, for the record, I just want it known, we're recording this, right? I've never been that guy. I've never been the tempter. That was supposed to be funny. Unfortunately, with no laughter, I'm thinking maybe you already knew that. So all of these relationships have one thing in common. They're all toxic. They can all take you away from God's best and draw you into a lifestyle that can actually hurt you and kill you. and even in some cases, worse yet, hurt and kill others. You know, if you raise your hand earlier that you know someone who is toxic, keep that person in mind for just a moment. You know, now in all relationships, we know that our goal should be that we should be ministering to others. Jesus calls us all to minister to others, to share the gospel, to make disciples. However, all of us have the ability to be toxic in our own way, yet we're supposed to minister to others. So how do we make that happen? You know, let me give you an example. You know, it's like, you ever been on an airplane and, you know, they tell you, the stewardess goes through the whole thing and she tells you that if the airbag drops, you do what? You put yours on first, then you help the other person. So that's a lesson that we need to learn. We need to be able to help ourselves first before you can help others. In recovery terms, it's you can't transmit something that you don't have. You know, how can I be a blessing to you if I haven't first been blessed? So as selfish as it sounds, we have to take care of ourselves. It's kind of like the idea of being blessed to be a blessing. So how can I heap blessings upon others if I first don't have blessings in my own life? You know, how can I transmit recovery and how can I transmit healthy way of living to someone if I don't even have that going on in my own life? So how do we manage toxic relationships? That's the question. And I've identified three ways this morning that we're going to talk about. And the very first one is that you can talk through it with that other person. You know, it's a very easy way. If you've got someone in your life that's exhibiting really toxic behavior and are causing you difficulty and pain, what's the first thing we should do? We should go and talk to that person. You know, the Bible says very plainly that if you see a brother caught in sin, restore them gently. You know, if I see something that you're doing that's presenting problems for me and others, if I'm a loving brother, I'm going to go to you and I'm going to bring that out and hopefully be able to restore that and help you to get better as well. You might have more influence with that person than you think you do. Matter of fact, isn't it a whole lot better to help someone to come out of error than it is to just walk away from them and leave them in it? You know, that's the greatest thing that I think about God, is that God will find us right in the middle of our mess, but yet refuses to leave us there. So why should we abandon someone that we supposedly love and care about? And we see someone living in a way that's destructive, we help them by bringing it forward. Number two, well, that was the first one, I missed it. And then number two is we set healthy boundaries. The whole idea of a boundary is that you're making a line where something or someone is not supposed to cross. You know, much like even a physical boundary. In most cases, boundaries are meant to keep the good in and the bad out. And it's not that people are horrible. It's not that people are dangerous. But there may be a part of a relationship that's unhealthy and dangerous to you. And so we want to keep that out. So you set these boundaries. And you know, some of you may be sitting here thinking, well, that doesn't sound very Christian. You know, shouldn't we be loving to that person? And of course the answer is yes, you should be loving to that person. But sometimes setting boundaries is a very Christ-like thing to do. Did you know that Jesus himself set boundaries? You ever thought about that? You know, Jesus set boundaries. There was times when he would pull away from others so that he could go and be with God and restore his strength and recharge. And, you know, he'd come back later to minister to those that he needed to help. So Jesus set boundaries. He even set boundaries with his closest friends. You know, whenever people tried to take him away from what God wanted him to do, he set boundaries. In Matthew 16:23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." See, the things that Peter was saying was like gangrene to Jesus. You know, the things that he was saying, it was like the enemy was working through him to try to get Jesus off of God's path and plan. And in order to minister to others, you have to set some boundaries too sometimes. And let's think about boundaries, by the way. It's not, we're not talking about the kind of boundaries that you would set on like a physical boundary, like say a piece of land. It's more like the type of boundaries that we're talking about. Sometimes these boundaries that I'm talking about are never even to be seen. You know, sometimes these boundaries are meant to keep people at bay or keep people at a distance, but you never really have to mention that the boundary exists. Boundaries are meant to, not meant, excuse me, to create harm and pain. Quite the contrary. Boundaries are meant to avert harm and pain. Boundaries, when you set them, in most cases, what they're really saying is, I'm not going there with you. No matter where that is, I'm not going. If you're doing something that's hurtful and it pulls me down, I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to criticize you, but I'm not going there with you either. You know, when we draw healthy boundaries, it's because we want to be able to please God with our life. We all want to have some type of reasonable amount of happiness in this life. You know, it's like saying, you know, I'm going to do the right thing regardless of what you do. You know, it's a way that we can honor God with our life. When you honor God by setting these boundaries, I believe that God will honor you, and I believe that God will honor those boundaries. Now, I believe that that's exactly why we set boundaries in our life. There's just certain things that people do that cross boundaries, and they cross the boundaries that I set. And it causes me to get knocked off balance, as I said earlier. Now I become something that I know I don't want to be. And how can I serve God if I revert back to the old self time and time again? You know, if you have a friend that is constantly gossiping, you know, ladies trashing their husbands, men talking about women at the gym or work, and, you know, you set this boundary. What you're saying is, I'm not going to allow you to pollute my soul, my heart, my mind with that garbage. I'm not going to participate in that. And that's a healthy thing to do. It's a healthy thing to draw that line in the sand. You know, here's my boundary. This is where I'm going to stand. This is not, we're not going to cross that. You know, or maybe you have someone who is constantly speaking down to you, talking negative to you. And maybe your boundary is saying, I'm not going to allow you to talk to me that way. I'm not going to allow you to treat me that way. You know, if someone is not treating you with dignity and respect, you need to draw a boundary. You need to draw a line that says, I'm not going to allow that anymore. I will not allow you to continue to talk to me that way. So again, I believe that setting boundaries is a very healthy thing to do. But when you set boundaries, it's not just for you. You know, it's also helpful for the other person. Maybe not right in the beginning, maybe in the very beginning they don't even realize it's hot up here. Or am I just preaching really good? As Tony said, yeah, I love that when he said that. You know, maybe, you know, maybe you, you're setting boundaries because you don't want to be treated a certain way. But when that other person realizes that you're no longer going to allow that to happen, sometimes it helps them to see their own behavior. Sometimes it helps them to change their own behavior. You know, but what if someone refuses to respect your boundaries? What if someone continues to criticize and condemn and tempt you? You know, sometimes, as unfortunate as it may be, we went too far. We weren't supposed to see that yet. How can we go back? It's not moving. There we are. I'm missing a slide. Sorry about that.
No, you got it there.
Okay. Sometimes we have to cut people off. Sometimes we just have to eliminate people from our life if necessary. Now, I'm not talking about divorce. Let me just tell you, if you have a toxic marriage, chances are both of you are toxic. Chances are it's not just one. You know, if you have a sickness, you go to the doctor, or you go to a counselor, or you go to a pastor, or you go to a close friend, and you try to work it out. But you don't gossip about it. And one of the things I was taught very early on is, and you don't take it to all of those people looking for the answer that you want to hear. sometimes you go to a close confidant and you talk about things, and you have people can help you to kind of see what's going on, but you don't go around searching for the right answer. I'm not talking about divorce in your family either, by the way. You know, I've got to be honest, I think it's really sad when I've heard times in the past where a parent says, I'm cutting my kid off. Or I've heard even children say, I'm never going to talk to my mom and dad again. Or siblings, I'm not going to talk to my brother. I'm not going to talk to my, cut them off. That's not what we do when we're family. When you're family, you should work it out. I love that's what, you know, Sheila and John's son said. You know, his dad taught them to support their family. So you can work these things out. And I believe the only time you truly cut somebody completely out is when there's an issue of extreme abuse, or maybe it's an issue of trying to seek safety. You know, sadly, I have to admit this morning that I have a brother who has absolutely no desire to have anything to do with me or my older brother. He literally cut us both out of his life. When I was a teenager, he took offense to some things that happened when we were kids. It baffles me to think that some of his biggest complaints about me and my oldest brother is that we mistreated him. He's 6 years older than me, so by the time he moved out of home, I was like, what, 12? So can you imagine allowing what a 12-year-old would say to you to be something that would allow you to cut that relationship off forever? You know, it breaks my heart. It truly does. I mean, I have to be honest. It breaks my heart to know that I have a brother who wants absolutely nothing to do with me. But, you know, sometimes we can't do anything about that. So what do? You know, I continue to love him. I continue to pray for him. And more than that, I continue to stand willing to reconcile that relationship if he ever decides that he wants to move toward me. You know, I continually try. I think one of the most important things I realized one time is that early on he said, never call me again. He told me that on the phone. He never wanted to speak to me again. And then something happened and we ended up, I think it might even have been my dad's funeral, and we were all at the same place. And we kind of talked just a little bit. I thought maybe for a moment there might be some reconciliation. And what happened was he did not end that conversation with, never call me again. So I try to call him on not really a completely regular basis. I don't want to be intrusive in his life. I don't want to cause him even more heart and, you know, hurt and pain. But the truth is he didn't just tell me, never call me again. So I do the best I can to have as much of a relationship with him as possible until he tells me, you know what, stay gone. So, you know, sometimes these relationships like this, as toxic as they are, they hurt us. They hurt us to know that you know, we can't be in relationship with people. But sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary that you cut people out of your life. If you have a toxic relationship in your life, then this morning, I really want to encourage you to do a couple things. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to work hard to build healthy ones. We want to work really hard and be diligent about how to build healthy relationships with other people, realizing that we ourselves can be toxic. Believe me, you may not be the toxic person in every relationship, but you're toxic to somebody. I can tell you, there's some people somewhere out there that, you know what, I'm toxic to them. There's just something, as a good friend of mine told me one time, he said, James, you're like 120 grit sandpaper. I said, how's that? He said, you just rub people the wrong way. I think you said it. I've known Walter for a long time. He's never said anything like that to me. He's a good friend. You know, we all have toxic relationships. We all have toxic people in our life that have to be dealt with. So this week, I would just really encourage you to evaluate your relationships and evaluate whether or not you need to set some boundaries in your life. You know, whether or not you need to establish healthy boundaries in your life to protect you from the toxic influence of other people, or maybe even let's pray that you can be a healthy and godly influence on them. You know, if necessary, take time to discuss this with a person. Talk with that person You know, if you've got a person that's toxic in your life, don't just cut them off. You can go and talk to them. As we said earlier, restore them gently. Pray that God will use this as an opportunity for you to minister to them. And pray for them that God will use, allow you to make this relationship something where you can be the greatest spiritual asset that they have. You know, I have some people in my life who are some of the greatest spiritual assets in my life. And I have some people who aren't quite so spiritual. I need to pray that I'm that person for you, that I'm that person for others, that the way I'm acting and behaving and living in our relationship allows me to be a spiritual asset, not a deficit. Talk it over with God. You know, take time to really create healthy relationships in your life and commit to working on these relationships. You know, maybe you've identified some toxic behaviors in yourself, and I would just encourage you to really admit those things to God, to bring those things out and to acknowledge that they exist in you. You know, if you don't realize you have a problem, you really can't do anything about it, can you? You know, I like to use the analogy of, you know, the problem and a solution is like this. If I'm driving down the highway in my car, and all of a sudden my car quits, and I coast over to the side of the road, what happened? I had a problem, right? Now I look down and I look at the gas needle and I realize, it happens a lot, I ran out of gas. I'm on empty. So now what have I done? I'm in a problem and I've identified the problem. Am I driving yet? No, because I've identified the problem. So what's the solution? The solution is that I get out of the car, walk down the street, get some gas, come back, pour it in the car, and drive away, right? Am I living in the solution yet? No, because I haven't actually got out of the car. See, in order to ever really live in the solution, I first got to identify the problem, identify the solution, and then act on the solution. I've actually got to get out and go get the gas. If I'm ever going to really solve any kind of problem in my life, I first have to acknowledge that it exists. Then I have to acknowledge what the solution is, and then I have to take action. So I just encourage you this week to think about your own behavior, your own, maybe the word toxic behavior is not fair, but think about your own behavior and how you might be able to identify a problem in some of your relationships. And maybe that problem is something that you need to pray about, something that you need to find a solution to, and then act upon. So I just encourage you to do that and realize that, you know what, sometimes there's just toxic people in our life. There's just people that bring about negativity, but that doesn't mean that I have to let it change who I am. You know, I've said this many times, and even to my kids, is, you know what, I can't allow your negative and harmful behavior to dictate who I am. Just because you do something that's harmful and hurtful to me and others doesn't mean I have to turn around and likewise do the same to you or others. We're going to pray here in just a moment. I'm a little bit early. I knew I would be. Before I do, is there anyone who wants to maybe share a little bit about a toxic relationship that you might have? No toxic relationships in the Outpost Church.
None that we'd like to share.
None that we'd like to share, she said.
Oh, you're all looking at it.
No.
No. No, I'm just teasing. What did you say, Walter?
There's Walter in my heart. Hey, if you've got a toxic relationship, you got good and bad, just think of that. You got some relationships you need to bring to you, and a lot of you need to get away from you. It's all toxic, you know. Toxic, get rid of it. But if it's a good relationship, hey, bring it in to you. Like, this is a good relationship right here. You want to bring this in to you. So that's all there is to it.
Good stuff. In a few moments, we're going to have communion if you guys want to come back up. You got something, okay?
Can I use your microphone?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just yell.
Just yell.
Goes all the way up.
Will you be able to hear it in the?
Check, one, two.
There you go.
I wish my wife was here, because she would probably share this, but I'm gonna share a recent example of what James is saying here. She's been, she's kind of, I won't say caught, but she's been trying to assist or counsel, let me start sooner. I got a good friend who's in a relationship, or was, with this girl, and well, they broke up. And she's so messed up, she keeps calling my wife for counsel. And my wife wants to help, but this girl just keeps on kind of not listening to her and talking about this guy who's my friend and others that we know, and in a condescending manner. And, you know, my wife trying to be as diplomatic as she can be, frowning on that, saying, you know, we're not going to talk about that, her boundaries. And yet it goes unheard, and this person just keeps on trying to kind of, you know, invade that boundary. And it came to the point where very recently she just had to cut it off. Take it out of the phone, take it off of Facebook. She can't, I mean, she just calls and calls and never seems to get it. And she's trying to change my wife's thought and behavior in a way that she knows better. And I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm going, yeah, you gotta get out of that. Even though we went to school together 20 years ago, hate to cut a friend off, or so-called friend, but when they get to that point, when people get like that, sometimes the hardest thing to do is the solution. And I think that what's going on with that relationship right now is exactly what you described.
Thanks, Bob. Anybody else?
I just want to thank you for your message. It was awesome.
Thanks.
I think you turned it off. So no. Okay. I wasn't really going to share, but I feel like I should. I don't know why. Maybe this will help somebody. My name's Krista, and for a long, long time growing up, I was in kind of a toxic situation with my mom. And it kind of became a codependent relationship where we would depend on each other for kind of part of our identity. So everything that went on, I would feel like I have to tell her, and she would have to tell me everything, and it was getting to be inappropriate. Like, she would be telling me personal things that you don't tell your kid, you know? And I would feel like I have to tell her everything also, and there were no boundaries whatsoever. I was having kind of like an identity crisis. I was getting older, and I got married and started having a family, and it started to just invade on our marriage, and it was really not a good situation. To kind of figure out my own stuff, I was dealing with some other things, and so I went to Celebrate Recovery and kind of figure out that, man, I'm in kind of a spot here. Like, how do I do this? Because you can't cut off your mom. I mean, it's your mother, and I love her. And my dad was kind of encouraging her in that, so that wasn't really helpful. But I figured out that I needed, like James said, to put up some healthy boundaries and say, you know what, I'm not gonna talk about your personal life, and there are some things in my personal life that are not gonna be talked about. And putting up those boundaries was hard. It wasn't just a one-time thing, it was a constant battle. You know, it's possible, and we've had some good talks, and you know, over the years, and especially with kids and stuff in the picture. You know, and recently I had to have another talk with my parents to help them understand that this is not, this has been going on for a long time, and that it needs to be addressed, and we need to be aware of it, so that, you know, boundaries aren't crossed, that there are boundaries up. I needed to actually tell them that, that I have boundaries, and that, you know, we don't talk about certain things. So I don't think that they completely understand, but they're respectful, and things have gotten better. So I just want to encourage anybody who is having an issue with a family member that it is possible to put up those boundaries. It's hard work, and you need some support from somebody around you, but I'm thankful that my husband was there for me and some good friends. So I just want to share that and encourage anybody who's dealing with that.
Krista, would you mention the Bible study today?
Oh, sure. We're also just want to remind everybody that we're having our second meeting for the Bible study today for How We Love. And last week, I think, was really good. It went really well. So I just want to encourage anybody that signed up. That's 2 o'clock today at our house in St. Peter's. If you need any information, let me know.
Thanks, Krista.
I've shared with several people here, band and a couple other people, that my mom does similar stuff to me that Krista was talking about. When I first got married, she did it when we were younger too, and when I first got married, John put some very clear boundaries, and we were good for 13 years that we were married. She was not a, you know, she didn't push or anything, but the minute he died, she came right back in and wanted to control everything in my life, and pretty much forced herself to move in with me, and you know, and so yeah, she helped me when the girls were little and all that, and that was fine, but she wanted to take over my money, and she wanted to take over, you know, control of everything in the household, and she wanted to take over raising the girls, and it's been a really long 5 years. And I recently attempted to put some boundaries in, and they're not working really well. And it's been a month, and already she's tried 3 or 4 times to come back. So I just ask that you guys pray for me, and I don't really want to talk about it anymore with the girls here, so thank you.
There's a very godly response to these situations. There's just so many of us who have things like this that are, can be so hurtful for us. So just, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just love you. We worship you. We thank you that Lord, regardless of the situations that's going on in our life, Lord, that you're always near to us. And so we can always call out to you. I pray, Lord, that you would just be near each one of these situations, every one of us here, Lord, who's maybe struggling in even a semi-toxic relationship, relationships where maybe things just seem a little harder than they should be. Lord, I just pray that you would just be near us, draw us closer to you. And Father God, I lift up each one, every one of us to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that God, that we would seek you with our whole heart and in all of our relationships. We just love you, we praise you, we thank you for how much you love us, how you chase after us, and Lord God, we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. In a few moments, we're going to have communion. You guys are welcome to come up and take the elements back to your seat and serve yourself, and God bless you.